Seeds and grains contain the energy of the plant world, as well as the DNA blueprint for plant life. One of the broad themes of the Land and People exhibit is about the plants of the prairie and how they fit into the relationship of living organisms to the natural environment. This short tour will take you around the outer perimeter of the exhibit, following the trail of seeds and grains on display. Along the way, questions posed by Dr. John Jansen, director of the museum from 1984 to 1994, will help you think through some larger issues connected to the displays you are viewing. We begin at the front of the museum, next to the immigrant trunk and harbor scene. Imagine yourself as one of the immigrants from 1874. In your trunk, you've brought along your most precious belongings, your pendulum wall clock, China food service and polished brass kettle, of course your Bible and hymn book, and you've also got turkey red hard winter wheat seed. You're stepping onto solid ground for the first time after weeks on a crowded ship crossing the Atlantic Ocean. The harbor is as crowded as the ship was, but even noisier, and everyone is shuffling around at a dizzying pace. You, however, are calm, in a state of tranquility. Because after months of agonizing over whether to pack up your family and leave your home, you know that you have made the right choice. Here, you cannot be forced to join the military. Here, you are free to practice your own religion. Here, you will start a new home. Although this short narrative was written about a Mennonite immigrating from South Russia in 1874, it could be any immigrant story. This theme of lifting up the particular to the universal, of using a specific artifact to tell a broader story, is common throughout the museum. Moving to the right, around the corner of the harbor mural, you find the section titled Inland by Rail. This area represents the next step of your migration. Most Mennonites of central Kansas felt factors both pushing them out of their homeland in South Russia and pulling them towards America. The major push factor was that of military conscription. In 1874, a new military law was enacted in Russia. Mennonites thought that this new law would end their exemption from military service, which was a big problem for believers in nonviolence. A major pull factor is highlighted in the Santa Fe Railway advertisement poster on the left. You read, "Good soil for wheat, corn, and fruit. The best stock country in the world." So you decide to head west by rail towards the advertised soil so that you can plant your wheat seed. Upon your arrival in central Kansas, you first thank God for the safe journey, as the quote below the bell shows. Then, you stand in awe of the great prairie vista presented before you, as seen on the wall to the right. We'll continue our tour there. Here you find yourself looking at a beautiful vista across the Kansas plains on the large wall mural. This is what the prairie looks like in early fall. On the way into the museum, you saw what the prairie looks like this time of year in our outdoor prairie restoration project. In this section, you may read about the prairie, what creates it, and how it is kept going. You will find that most of the prairie is deep underground. The subsoil contains the deep energy in the grass roots of the prairie. Walt Whitman, in his 1879 writing, Specimen Days, offers this quote about the prairie. "As to scenery, giving my own thought and feeling, While I know the standard claim is that Yosemite, Niagara Falls, the Upper Yellowstone, and the like afford the greatest natural shows, I am not so sure, but the prairies and plains, while less stunning at first sight, last longer, fill the aesthetic sense fuller, precede all the rest, and make North America's characteristic landscape. Just around the corner from the prairie grasses and roots diagram are cases filled with birds. Many of these birds eat the seeds and grains from the prairie. As you continue moving past the bird cases towards the prairie food web diagram, you see this fact illustrated. You also see from this diagram the relationships between all of the living organisms to the natural environment and to each other. The prairie food web shows the flow of energy from an ecologist's point of view. Energy flows from the sun to plant and microscopic organisms, and from there to an ascending hierarchy of life forms. Where might the human community be located in this diagram? To the left of the prairie food web diagram is the main prairie exhibit. Here you can see a few of the major grasses of the prairie: switchgrass, big bluestem, and little bluestem. Take careful note of the seed heads. Note the biomass of the animals and the way they interrelate with the grasses. Who eats the seeds? Think again of the birds that are all-year residents, meadowlarks, for example, that must find food throughout the winter. Walking out of the prairie exhibit and taking a left, consider the way that grass supports the biomass of ranching on your left and native hunting on your right. Note how striking are the similarities of technologies of the horse in the two traditions. Also on your right, study the painting called Tsitsista's Order of the World, for a Native American artist's rendering of the relationship between living things in the world. How does this compare to the modern ecologist perspective you saw earlier in the prairie food web diagram? In the Cheyenne case to the left of the Order of the World painting, you can see tools used by the Cheyenne people for subsistence farming. The Cheyenne were cultivators before they became equestrian hunters. Note the similarities between the plains equestrian culture of the native Cheyenne and the immigrant Americans in the two facing exhibits, hunting and gathering and ranching. As you turn around to see the sodbuster plow, consider the text and visuals that describe the end of millennia of prairie growth. The sodbuster plow was invented when the immigrants' wooden tools were unable to penetrate the hard prairie soil. What were the implications of the replacement of annual prairie grasses by the cultivation of wheat and corn? Note the technology of wheat cultivation and harvesting, and how that technology has evolved into even more modern farming equipment, such as tractors and combines. Next, enter the exhibit section on threshing and milling. Here you can see the evolution of technology related to the power source. There are human-powered artifacts, such as the flail and the winnowing basket, wind or water-powered tools such as the grist millstone, animal-powered implements like the threshing stone, and steam, coal, and fossil-fueled powered tools like the threshing machine and roller mill. A set of three images mounted between the threshing stone and roller mill highlights this progression of technology, beginning at the top with the human-powered tools, then moving to the horse-drawn threshing stone, and finally to the steam-driven threshing machine. On the exhibit rail of the milling exhibit, you will see small circular windows showing modern food grains, the main food grains in central Kansas for animal feeding and for bread and other cereal foods. To what extent is the abundance of food grains in the Great Plains due to the fertility of the soil, built of millennia of prairie growth that captured and transformed sunlight, or due to the addition of fossil fuels that bring added energy from the sun into food production? If you are interested in how these grains and the meats of the animals feeding on these grains were made into meals, find the kitchen of the Home and Family section of the exhibit. You will see the oven that baked breads and cooked stews. The MCC canner and MCC food canning section of the exhibit presents a unique application of surplus food energy to international relief work by Mennonites. Invented in post-World War II central Kansas in the late 1940s, MCC relief canning occurred first on farms in the area that benefited from the rich soils plowed less than 70 years earlier. In many cases, the animal protein that was canned had grazed on prairie grasses. To what extent did this unique Mennonite global relief ethic have its roots in prairie energy? Move on to the encounters section of the exhibit. Each section on China, India, and Central Africa shows the role of the main food grain of that country or society and the technology of food production in the cultural context. Rice, wheat, and millet provide the central foods of these regions. We hope that this Grains, Energy, and Ecology tour of Koff Museum's exhibit of Land and People has given you insight into the sources of life of our region and the way that human society has benefited from nature's abundance. May we be good stewards of this land and generous with that which has been entrusted to us.